Last month, President Trump said he would explore all regulatory and legislative solutions to address the allegations of anti-conservative bias on social media platforms. Last week, a draft of an executive order to address censorship through regulatory bodies was circulated through the White House and ended up in the hands of the press. Today, we're going to look at what this draft reportedly suggests and some of the obstacles and legal precedents involved in this discussion, including Section 230 and the now-repealed Fairness Doctrine. But before we go further, be sure to check out our Subverse News articles on Minds.com and Medium, where we write about these topics and much more. If you want to support the work we do, you can donate to our PayPal, Subscribestar, or Patreon, which are linked in the description. According to Politico, last week, a White House official and others familiar with the matter said the White House is circulating a draft of a proposed executive order addressing allegations of social media companies' alleged bias towards conservatives. Politico's sources wouldn't describe the order because it's still being built out, but the fact that they're working on a way to address the issue suggests the federal government is going beyond antitrust and data privacy issues and are taking aim at the way social media platforms govern speech online. A White House official told Politico, if the internet is going to be presented as this egalitarian platform and most of Twitter is liberal cesspools of venom, then at least the president wants some fairness in the system. But look, we also think that social media plays a vital role. They have a vital role and an increasing responsibility to the culture that has helped make them so profitable and prominent. None of the sources could say what kind of penalties the order would dish out to companies who are found to be censoring certain political perspectives. The order also reportedly addresses topics outside of tech bias, but the issue has drawn a lot of attention even before the White House hosted a social media summit that we reported on last month, and Trump's meeting with social media executives after. Last week, Trump tweeted that Sundar Pichai was in the Oval Office, explaining that Google is not planning to illegally subvert the 2020 election, quote, despite all that has been said to the contrary. Trump pointed to former Google engineer Kevin Cernicke, who claims he was fired for being outspoken about his conservative political views, as well as Peter Schweizer, who claimed negative stories on Hillary Clinton were being suppressed. In Cernicke's case, Google spokeswoman Jen Kaiser told the Wall Street Journal, "We enforce our workplace policies without regard to political viewpoint," but declined to comment on the specific incidents involving Cernicke and other Google employees. Google told Cernicke in a termination letter that he was let go for company policy violations, including downloading company information improperly and misusing remote access software, which Cernicke denies. The effort to push this executive order is being met with skepticism by agencies like the Federal Trade Commission and the Federal Communications Commission, whose Republican members say they don't see their agencies having a role in policing companies' online content, but both agencies have joined the Justice Department and Department of Commerce to discuss the potential crackdown on bias. According to Politico, John Morris handled internet policy issues at the Commerce Department's National Telecommunications and Information Administration before leaving in May. He said, there's very little in terms of direct regulation the federal government can do without congressional action, and frankly, I think that's a positive thing, adding, although the government may be able to support and assist online platforms' efforts to reduce hate and violence online, the government should not try to impose speech regulations on private platforms. As politicians from both sides of the political spectrum have historically urged, the government should not be in the business of regulating speech. There's also a possibility that harmful online content could become part of the discussion of the order after recent events like mass shootings, where gunmen posted on online message boards like 8chan. Trump had already invited internet and tech companies to a roundtable to discuss online extremism and directed the Justice Department to work with platforms as well as state and local governments to develop tools to detect mass shooters and prevent more incidents. According to Politico, the White House official they spoke with said the administration sees no conflict between demanding free speech online and scrutinizing for signs of potential violence. They have a role, if not a responsibility, to monitor the content on their sites to ensure that people aren't threatened with violence or worse, and at the same time to provide a platform that protects and cherishes freedom and free speech, but at the same time does not allow it to descend into a platform for hate. A draft of the order obtained by CNN titled Protecting Americans from Online Censorship calls for the FCC to develop regulations explaining how and when laws protect social media sites when they remove or suppress content. The draft claims that the White House received over 15,000 complaints of censorship of American political discourse following the launch of their online reporting tool and offers to share those complaints with the FTC. The FTC would then open a public complaint docket and work with the FCC to develop a report to see how tech companies are curating their platforms to ensure they're doing it in a neutral way. there are some obstacles currently in place that could hinder the enforcement of such an order. The First Amendment limits the federal government's involvement in policing speech. Another would be Section 230 of the Communications Decency Act, which protects online platforms from liability for the content their users post. However, lawmakers from both parties have suggested altering Section 230, but have yet to agree on what those changes will entail. Senator Josh Hawley's proposal, which we've reported on before, would remove the immunity large tech companies receive under Section 230 unless they submit to an external audit that proves their algorithms and content removal practices are politically neutral. This has received pushbacks from groups across the political spectrum as harming smaller companies and infringing on free speech. Senator Lindsey Graham has also said he's considering legislation that would put requirements on companies to uphold their liability shield under Section 230 that would be periodically reviewed by federal regulators. But the draft proposal wants to narrow the protections offered to companies under Section 230, asking the FCC to restrict the government's view of the good faith provision where they can take down objectionable content. The FCC will have to find which social media sites don't qualify for good faith immunity when they're removing or suppressing content without notifying the user. Some people are critical of trying to get the FCC involved in policing online speech, including Republican FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr. After Mark Zuckerberg's op-ed proposing a third party to govern standards for the distribution of harmful content, Carr tweeted, "Outsourcing censorship to the government is not just a bad idea, it would violate the First Amendment." President of the libertarian-leaning think tank, Tech Freedom, Baron Soka, told CNN, "It makes no sense to involve the FCC here. They have rulemaking authority, but no jurisdiction. They can't possibly want to be involved. It would be an impossible position." While many questions are being raised about how the government can effectively regulate speech platforms, there's some precedence from past legislature. The Mayflower Doctrine, which was implemented by the FCC to require radio broadcasters to provide full and equal opportunity for the presentation to the public all sides of public issues, became the predecessor for the Fairness Doctrine in 1949. The Fairness Doctrine became the framework that held radio broadcasters and holders of broadcasting licenses accountable to content that the FCC saw as honest, equitable, and balanced. The doctrine was comprised of two basic elements, which required broadcasters to devote segments to discussing public interest pieces that were sometimes controversial, and also to air contrasting viewpoints on those controversial topics. While the Fairness Doctrine did not dictate how broadcasters decided to present information, its main focus was to present radio audiences with opposing views to help encourage a more well-informed public. One case in 1969 pitted the United States Supreme Court up against Red Lion Broadcasting Company, where the FCC stated that the broadcasting company did not present issues with a diversity of viewpoints. Red Lion Broadcasting challenged this in court, stating the rules unconstitutionally infringe on the station's speech and editorial judgment. The Supreme Court eventually sided with the FCC, stating, "Even where there are gaps in spectrum utilization, the fact remains that existing broadcasters have often attained their present position because of their initial government selection and competition with others before new technological advances opened new opportunities for further uses. Some present possibility for new entry by competing stations is not enough, in itself to render unconstitutional the government's effort to assure that a broadcaster's programming ranges widely enough to serve the public interest." The unanimous decision found that the government regulation to enhance the accessibility to diversity of thought through the Fairness Doctrine does not violate the First Amendment. Although the Supreme Court found that the doctrine in this scenario was constitutional, in 1985 it was the FCC who decided that the doctrine actually violated free speech. FCC Chairman Mark Fowler, who was a communications attorney on Ronald Reagan's presidential bids, released a report called General Fairness Doctrine Obligations, which suggested that speech was indeed being violated. Following the 1986 Telecommunications and Action Center versus FCC, Congress directed the FCC to examine possible alternatives to the Fairness Doctrine. By 1987, the FCC had abolished the doctrine in a 4-0 vote, stating, "The intrusion by government into the content of programming occasioned by the enforcement of the Fairness Doctrine restricts journalistic freedom of broadcasters and actually inhibits the presentation of controversial issues of public importance to the detriment of the public and the degradation of editorial prerogative of broadcast journalists." Some legislators believe that a new form of the Fairness Doctrine should be reinstalled to help reinstate balance to the 24-hour news cycle, especially amongst Democrats. In February 2005, Representative Louise Slaughter, a New York Democrat, proposed the Fairness and Accountability in Broadcasting Act, which would shorten station license terms from 8 years to 4. The bill did not progress past a committee. Other prominent Democrats such as Dick Durbin, Nancy Pelosi, and former President Bill Clinton have all come out in support of having the bill enacted in some way. Senator Jeff Bingaman of New Mexico addressed the idea, stating on a New Mexico conservative radio station, "All I'm saying is that for many, many years we operated under a fairness doctrine in this country, and I think the country was well served. I think the public discussion was at a higher level and more intelligent in those days than it has become since." Opposition to the reimplementation of the fairness doctrine has also been widespread, mostly by prominent libertarians and conservatives who see it as an assault on First Amendment rights. In 2007, Senate Republicans proposed a bill entitled the Broadcaster Freedom Act of 2007. The bill provided, "The commission shall not have the authority to prescribe any rule, regulation, policy, doctrine, standard, or other requirement that has the purpose of reinstating or repromulgating the requirement that broadcasters present opposing viewpoints on controversial issues of public importance." In 2008, FCC Commissioner Robert McDowell suggested that the Fairness Doctrine could potentially be reinstated and be intertwined with the debate on net neutrality, and stated that both net neutrality and the doctrine advocates could potentially use the government to dictate content on the web. The executive order is still a draft and subject to change, so we're going to continue watching the developments of this and other regulations concerning big tech and internet companies and keep you updated. So stay tuned for more videos and articles on these topics and more on this channel and in our articles on Minds.com and Medium. We also have those articles in podcast form for you to listen to on most major podcast platforms. If you like the work we do and you want to support it, you can donate to our PayPal, Subscribestar, and Patreon, or you can buy Subverse merchandise at our Teespring store. All those links are in the description. If you want to help us grow, leave your thoughts in the comments and share our videos. Thanks for watching, and we'll see you next time.